Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky.
Welcome back to Sharp Elbows. This is Representative Francesca Hong. I am joined by Chief of Staff and the phenomenal Nada El-Mekashfi and our special guest from the 90th District up in Green Bay, Representative Christina Shelton. We are talking about the Economic Justice Bill of Rights. This is a resolution that Rep. Shelton and I introduced back in March. And I just want to read off quickly what all is written into our Economic Justice Bill of Rights. And it states that all Wisconsinites deserve the right to an equitable living income and livelihood, a union, public or private, and collective bargaining, affordable and accessible high quality healthcare, equitable and accessible public education and childcare, pollution-free water and a healthy planet, that all Wisconsinites have a right to high quality and safe housing, reliable climate-friendly transportation, a fair and equitable justice system, life, self-determination, and liberation, regardless of race, ethnicity, socioeconomic background, sexual orientation, gender identity, religion, disability status, and age, and to live free from fear of racial, religious, and gender oppression. And I know that in the crafting of this resolution, in our talks with Nada, again, our amazing team on this Economic Justice Bill of Rights, which includes Sabine Castro and Emmy Lopez, we had a lot of going back and forth of what all needed to be included, how the language needed to be crafted, and how we were going to make sure that this could be the most effective way to really message and hold not only ourselves accountable, but to let folks know that this is our commitment, not only in the legislature, but what we want to continue to push forward and use kind of as our vision, as our North Star for Wisconsin. So, Christina, I'm hoping you can answer this candidly. What do you think was one of the biggest struggles that we came across when we were crafting this?
I think that's the best question and the hardest question. And it was really paring it down and trying to make it succinct. You know, Democrats are great and when crafting plans, you know, here's a 20-page plan or a 2,000-page plan. And we did not want to do that, right? We wanted to be able to communicate our commitments clearly and succinctly. And we had some great conversations about how we could do that, what needed to be included, but how do we communicate our commitment to justice, to self-determination, to liberation, to come at this from an anti-racist, anti-oppression approach. But we wanted to make sure that we balance that with making sure that people know that this is for everyone. This is for every person, every background. And I'm really proud of where this landed. I feel like this is a blueprint though for just what comes next.
Mm-hmm. What I really liked about it is that we, even talking about this during our campaigns in the summer, we talked about agency, where, you know, all of us serve as megaphones rather than, you know, having it be top down. Coalition was really big in the structure of this Economic Justice Bill of Rights and how we kind of show or like kind of flag to Wisconsin that these are the inherent values and rights that every single person is entitled to, and we're, you know, committed to upholding it, but it also is flexible in what people need in their immediate environment. And you know, building agency is such a, I think, big deal, and it's a problem in, I think, legislatures across the country where, you know, representatives or senators or whatever don't try to build that first. So I was really kind of reassured to know both of your tenures kind of embraced giving agency to your constituencies more than anything else. So I think that's a big part of why this Economic Justice Bill of Rights is, you know, got so much support. You had most of your colleagues sign on because it was a moral document, you know?
And these are non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can't argue against this.
These are not negotiable. I'm not negotiating with someone who says, oh, you deserve it. You deserve housing, but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, not sorry. Right. Mm-hmm. You deserve health care. If you're not working in the traditional economy, you don't. Mm-hmm. We're not negotiating that. And you're right. It really is a catalog. It's just a catalog of basic principles.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get behind these as a party. How do we work together, as you said, to build agency to change not just the state, but the country, but the world for the better?
Mm-hmm. What really blows my mind as someone who immigrated to the U.S. when I was 6, you know, old enough to kind of get disparities, to get the difference between a third world country and here, is America's the wealthiest place on earth, yet you have people dying because they can't afford insulin, right? You have people that are homeless in a polar vortex. And this is all stuff that does not need to happen. And so for me, this idea of fiscal kind of arguments against giving people housing and universal health care is all rooted in this kind of propaganda of capitalism that gives minorities, that gives, you know, working class people crumbs and then makes them fight over them when there is so much wealth to go around and so much to be left over as well.
I think fundamentally, we don't often talk about how the role of government, one of the primary role of government, is to enable coalition building. Yes, the agency of individuals to have access and rights to clean water, to housing, to a living wage job, to be able to, you know, have a family and support your family. As much as that agency is critical, we know that without coalitions, without communities working together, it's just not, we can't implement it. It's not feasible. And so governments should be enabling coalition building, for organizing, for collective bargaining, so that we can actually put into practice the democracies that this country says that it's built on. And that coalition building has to fall under an equity lens, a racial justice lens. And so for me, in crafting this, that's where I always wanted to see each right. Is this something that is going to, one, provide liberation for the individual, but also really enable and motivate us to know that we have to work together to be able to do this? So it was, I think all of the challenges that we faced in terms of language, in terms of, is this where it needs to be in the order? Is this something that we're going to be able to get our colleagues who are in purple districts, red districts, blue districts, wherever, to really come together on, was all necessary for us to make sure that this was going to be liberating for the individual, but also power building for groups. And I hope that they take that away I hope that folks who are listening and thinking about our Economic Justice Bill of Rights really look at how coalition building is such a strong part of this. You're listening to Sharp Elbows. This is Rep Hong. I'm joined by Representative Christina Shelton and Nada Omakashvi.